Tonight's shiur, Parshas Baloscha, begins with the commandment to light the menorah, Baloscha Saneras. The pasuk says, "V'yas kein Aaron el mul pnei ha-menorah," etc. And Aaron did so as he was commanded. And Rashi said, "Lagid shivcho shel Aaron shaloshina." So the Torah is recording here, "Vayas kein Aaron," the praise of Aaron that he didn't change, meaning he did exactly what was told. So everybody asked the kash over here. Of course, what's the big chiddush? Praise of Aaron that he did. For what reason would he have not to do the commandment of Hashem? Hashem told Moshe to tell Aaron the following, you know, to light the menorah. So what? Aaron's going to say, "No, I'm not going to do it." Of course he's going to do it. So what's the great praise of Aaron? Oh, the shivcho shel Aaron that he didn't change. He did what he was told. Of course he was going to do what he was told. There's many, many answers to this question. Let's share with you something I saw this year. The Ramban says the shvach of Aaron was that he took care of the menorah his whole life. Meaning, even though the lighting of the menorah was not kosher not only for him, it's also for the Bnei Aaron. In other words, he could have given over to his sons to do the lighting. But no, he did it himself. Every single day of his whole life, from the time he was commanded, Loshina, the Shvach of ours, Loshina, says the Ramban, is that he did it himself every single day, and he didn't give the job to anybody else to do so. However, the Chasam Sofer adds to that a beautiful idea. He says that based on the Chazal and the Psukim in the Torah, it comes out that the person involved in the Hatava Saneros, cleaning out the menorah, whatever, and then, you know, preparing it for the lighting, says this was done at the same time as the Ktores, the offering of the incense. The exact same time. So as a result, the obvious Cheshbon is, therefore somebody that is lighting the menorah, he can't do the Ketores. It's one or the other. So we also know that the Ketores was a segula for Ashiras. That's why in the Beis Hamikdash they made an announcement to Chadashim, whoever hasn't done the Ketores yet, come and make a pious. Why? Because they wanted to give every Kohen a chance to become rich. And therefore, if you did it already, you weren't included in the Hagrala. It's only those that didn't do it, so everybody has a chance to become rich. So the Ketores has that skula. Therefore, if you're going to do the menorah, then you can't do the Ketores. So what did Aaron do? He didn't want to forgo the mitzvah of the menorah, even though it meant he wasn't able ever to do the mitzvah of the Ketores, because they happened simultaneously. Even though he could have, you know, done both. You know, one day the menorah, the other day Ketores, next day menorah. Or even not, he could have done every day the menorah, but once, do the Ketores, so he can become rich. And it doesn't say you have to do it a million times. You can do it once. So one day he said, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do the Ketores one time in my life so that I can become rich also. No, he didn't forfeit the mitzvah of the menorah even one day, but accordingly he forfeited the segula of becoming rich. Why did he do this? Because, says the Gemara in Shabbos, that whoever is careful in Neros, he's going to have children in a Tamid Chachamim. So therefore lighting the menorah has its own skula for Torah. Memele, by Aaron, Tovli Torah's Picha, Me'alfei Zav Chasef, that Aaron said, I don't care, I'm not going to become rich. I'm not giving up the segula of Torah for the segula of money for anything in the world. And therefore Aaron was Loshina, as the Ramban said, every single day he did the menorah, even though he had to forfeit the segula of the Ketores, because Tovli Torah's Picha Me'alfei Zav Chasef. Parsha continues, we have the Inyan of the Pesach Sheni. They're people that were tame, and as a result, they were not able to do the Korban Pesach. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and complained, "Lama nigarau? You know, why should we, not have to be able to do this mitzvah?" So therefore, he gave them the mitzvah of Pesach Shein. So Rav Zalman Sirotzkin, he makes interesting ha'ara. He says, Lemaisa, what were these people missing? Or what were they not missing? In other words, Leil Seder, they weren't able to do the Korban Pesach. So we're near the Korban. Okay, fine. But they were able to do the mitzvah to destroy the Bir Chametz. That you can do in your tummy. Okay, there's Simchas Yom Tov. Could they have Simchas Yom Tov? You have Simchas Yom Tov. Can they eat Marar? Can they eat Marar? In other words, they had plenty of mitzvahs. They're just missing one. Okay, so you're missing one mitzvah. Big deal. You have all these other mitzvahs to do. It's not like you have nothing. You have all these mitzvahs. Okay, you're missing one. So we see from here that was their hashkafa. Their hashkafa wasn't, big deal, what's one mitzvah? Or, Baruch Hashem, one mitzvah less to do. No, for them, every mitzvah was so chashuv that they, so dear to them, that just one mitzvah. I want to do every single possible mitzvah I possibly can. And therefore, that was their taina. In fact, there's a remez, they said, Lama nigara, why should we be held back from doing the Korban Pesach? Nigara, the letters Nun Gimel Resh Ayin, is why should we niye goyim reshaim ve'arelim? Nun niye gimel goyim resh reshaim and ayin arelim. Those are the people that can't do a Korban Pesach. Right? People that are either goyim or reshaim or ben nechar. An RL, someone who's uncircumcised. Lama nigara, why should we be like these people that are, unfit for doing the Korban Pesach? We want to be able to. And their taina was, again, they said, look, it's not even our fault. Why would they come? Chazal tell us, some say because they were dealing with the Aaron of Yosef. Others saying because of the Meis Mitzvah that they had to do. It wasn't their fault. So they said, it's not our fault. We want the mitzvah. So we see here how the proper Ashkafa, a person shouldn't say, good, one less mitzvah to do. Baruch Hashem, a pater, No, should look for mitzvahs. Try to do mitzvahs. So Maisa with Rav Moshe Debershvili. He was one of the Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim in Rada. And he recalls this Maisa that once he was doing Mishmar Thursday night. He was learning Yeshiva there. And it was the middle of the winter, cold winter's night. And he got a little bit carried away with his learning. And before he knew it, it was like, the wee hours, almost morning. Got to be very, very late. And he goes, oh boy. And so he left the Beis Midrash and started going back to where he's staying. He was staying by the Chafetz Chaim's sister's home. That's where he lodged. Anyway, so he was making his way back. And then as he was getting closer to the house, he sees on the street the figure of this person and kind of pacing back and forth. And this was, we're talking about, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever, And this person is pacing back and forth and very troubled, and it was freezing cold and it was snowing and, in Europe, and it was, and this person was like looking. So this Moshe got very, very nervous, and he didn't know who this guy was. Maybe he's a gangster or something. What is this guy doing out in the middle of the night like this? He got very nervous. He was thinking, should I turn back? Should I run back to the Beis Medrash? So he said, no, maybe I'll just, quickly get, just try to get to where I'm staying. So he started making his way. And then, as he got closer to this figure, he saw it was none only than the Chafetz Chaim. So Chafetz Chaim noticed him, and he said, hey, what are you doing? He said, well, I was at Mishmar. Mishmar, you're coming back Mishmar at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, you have to take care of yourself. Mishmar, and you're going to get sick, and look at this, it's freezing cold outside, and snowing, and give them Musar. He says, get in the house right away. Okay, so he runs in the house, like I say, stayed by the Chavetz Chaim sister, and that's it, went to sleep. So next morning, he was speaking to the Baal Sabai, the Chavetz Chaim sister, and he told her what happened last night. He said, strangest thing, I come home 4 o'clock in the morning, and there's your brother, Chavetz Chaim, he's outside, in the middle of the night, and pacing out, what's going on? So she goes, just the last 3 nights, he's been pacing, trying to find the Levana, right? It's the last few nights we able to say Kiddush Levana. And he was out there looking for the Levana last 3 nights in the middle of the night in the freezing cold. He's looking for the Levana. That's called being having the mitzvahs dear to you. So also reminded me of another mice I once saw with the Baba Sali. So it was once he used to live in the Tivot, And came time for the Kiddush Levana. It was at the end of the time to say Kiddush Levana, right towards the middle of the month. It was like the last night. And people were getting a little nervous because there's no moon to be seen. And it was the last night to be able to say Kiddush Levana. So all of a sudden, Baba Sali comes out of his room or whatever, and he says to everybody, okay, let's say Kiddush Levana. Come, let's say Kiddush Levana. And he was like, Kiddush Levana, there's no moon. All of a sudden, they look up, clouds move, and there's the moon. So everybody's like, wow, moy face, you know, it's unbelievable. Wow, what's this? The power of the Baba Sali. So he said, no, calm down. He said, it's not a moy face. He said, why? You just came out, and all of a sudden, so he said, let me tell you. He says, many years ago, when I lived in Morocco still, he says, one month, again, it was very overcast, and there was no moon to be found. And another day, finally, it was the last day, and last, you know, night, to be able to say Kiddush Levana, and again, overcast. So I got very nervous. What are you going to do? Last time I say Kiddush Levana. So I was thinking and made some connections here and there, and he heard that a number of kilometers away, that's over there, the sky is clear and the moon could be visible. So he says, I'm going. So he traveled the whole night to try to get to this place, and just before the morning, he just reached that miles and miles away. Just before morning, he arrives there, and sure enough, catches a glimpse of the moon. He was able to say Kiddush Levana. So he tied it, he said, therefore, ever since then, he says, when a person is moser nefesh for the mitzvah, a mitzvah, he becomes the balabais of that mitzvah. He can control that mitzvah. Since he was moser nefesh for the mitzvah, now it becomes like his mitzvah, he can control it. So ever since then, I can control this mitzvah. Therefore, that's why there's no moon tonight. So, came out, and boom, yes, I'm the balabais of this mitzvah, what I did way back when in Morocco. Says, find an unusual thing in the middle of the Sedra, that the famous psukim, Vayhi bin So'aron v'yomer Moshe, Kum Hashem, etc. And what's strange, it's that Chazal tell us that these couple of psukim over here are out of place. It's just stuck here in the middle of the Parsha, doesn't belong here. And not only that, there's also strangely, it's separated these two psukim with two inverted nuns, upside down nuns, backwards upside down nun. So also very strange. So what's the idea? So Chazal tell us in Einachanami, these psukim don't belong here, and they're here to separate from the Puranios. Okay, there's the Puranios just before this and is after this, and to separate, we have these, so we shouldn't have the Piranhas back to back. That's all I'll say. However, okay, we're here, but why Dafka nuns and upside down nuns? A nun could be, why any layer? Why not an Aleph an upside or upside down Beis? I don't know. Why Dafka a nun and upside down nuns? That's a beautiful idea from Rav Moshe Yaakov Weiss, Meizav. And he says like this, what were the, first of all, what were the Puranias over here? Okay, so before Vayi Ben Soar, the Puranias are, says the Pasuk, Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shloshes Yamim. So the Puranias before was that they traveled from Har Sinai. Terrible thing, how could they travel from Har Sinai? What do you mean, what was, they traveled, they had to travel from Har Sinai. Meaning they didn't decide, you know, let's go on a trip today. They followed the Ananei HaChavot. Whenever the Ananim went, they went. The Ananim stopped, they stopped. So if they traveled from Har Sinai, that must mean that the Ananim went and they followed it. So what was the terrible thing that they traveled from Har Sinai? You know, they left Har Sinai. They had to leave Har Sinai. The Ananim left. They had to go. So the Bali Musar answer, they say, yeah, that's true, they had to go. But in comparison, they say, what about when earlier on when they were at Yam Suf? Right, and all the Egyptians drowned, and all the gold and silver were on the seashore. And what the Yidden had a mitzvah, Bizas Hayam, right, to take all the gold and the silver from the Mitzrayim. And then it says over there in the Pasuk, Vayasa Moshe Es Yisrael. What does Vayasa mean? It means he made them travel. What do you mean make them travel? means he had to, they said, okay, and Moshe says, the anim are, the clouds are going, we have to go. What were they saying? Just a minute, Moshe, we'll be there in a minute. You know, it's a couple of earrings, and we'll be there. Just we're coming, right? So Moshe says, no, you gotta come right now, the clouds are going, we gotta go. But Yasa Moshe, you have to drag them out. So when it came to gathering gold and silver, then, but Yasa Moshe, they had to drag them out. But when it came to getting mitzvahs at our Sinai, he said, okay, we have to go. Go, oh, wonderful, let's go. And they ran away. So therefore, because I'll call it like a tinok shabirach mi beta sefer, like a kid that runs away from school. And of course they had to go, but what was their feeling? They ran away like, ah, oh, good, no more mitzvahs. Couldn't wait to get away. That was the first piranha. Second piranha is after Vayibin Soa. Find the misonim, the complainers. And it says over there, Vayishma Moshe sa'am bochel mishpachosav. So one of the things they complained about was that they are crying because of their families. What does that mean? What they'll say? That they were upset of the Arias, they were also to them. Until now they could marry their sister, their whatever, mother, whatever it might be. And now they couldn't, they had these Isser relationships, so they were crying that they could, they had all these people now they couldn't marry, they couldn't marry their family anymore. Now, with the fish, we'll see why we're talking about fish now. But fish have two interesting qualities about them. One is that if you ever notice, when it rains, okay, where there are fish, and the Chazal tells, when the raindrop falls onto the water, the fish jump for it. Like they want to grab the water, the rain that's coming down. Very strange thing, right? Why? Because as if you don't have enough water, you know, oh, a drop of water, ooh, let's go, you know. I mean, come on, you're in a whole body of water with a few drops. No, but oh, they want more. So what do we see? The fish, and they acted totally the opposite of Klal Yisrael did at Har Sinai. Right? Har Sinai, they said, no, let's get away, we don't want any more mitzvahs. Whereas the fish, they're totally opposite. Say, more, more, more. Come on, look at all. No, we want more. More water, more water. Totally the opposite of Kal Yisra. So too, another thing about fish is that in the time of the Noah, when all the animals were killed, Hashem didn't kill the fish. Why? Because the fish says we're not, no yishchitu at darkam. They didn't intermingle, whatever, intermate. Okay, they were the only ones that did. So the quality of fish is that they're very, promiscuous when it comes to arayas. So as a result, we have the opposite again of Israel. They were bochel mishpachosav. They, we're crying. We want to intermarry with our family, and the fish were totally opposite. They were careful about arayas. They stayed away from arayas. So fish are totally opposite. Mele, what's a fish? How do you say fish in Aramaic? Noon. Nuna. Noon is fish in Aramaic. Mimele, Bnei Israel over here acted totally the opposite as fish do. So how do you represent that? A noon, which means fish, upside down. Afuch. They acted totally the opposite as fish. Before being so, they ran from Har Sinai, unlike fish, which want more, they didn't want more mitzvahs. And after we've been so are the perennials, where they cried about the Arias, whereas the fish are dafka good when it comes to Arias. And therefore, we have the upside down nuns to show that they acted the opposite. Okay. It says, Zacharnu es adaga asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam. They also complained about they said, when we were in Mitzrayim, we ate fish. Again, dagim. We ate fish. Chinam. So famous Rashi, he says, Im tomar shem Yitzrim notnim lehem dagim chinam, but lo kvar ne'emar v'tevel lo yinaten lehem. What do you mean? They gave them that free fish dinners in Mitzrayim. They didn't even give them free straw. They gave going to give them free fish. So therefore, what does it mean? Free fish? Not really free fish. It means chinam mina mitzvahs. So what does that mean? So the pashup shad is, what does it mean chinam mina mitzvahs? Is that they didn't like the fact now that their food and whatever happens to them is all talui in mitzvahs. you know, you do the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem rewards you, and you have good food, parnasa, tati matar tzachem, v'ito yor amalkosh, right? Hashem gives the rain. It's up if you do, if you have ayim shamoa, if you listen to the mitzvah. And if you don't listen to the mitzvah, Hashem can take away the rain, you're not going to have. They didn't like the fact that their food supply and everything is totally now in mitzvahs. So that's what they're saying, that we remember that, oh, in Mitzrayim, we were chinam in a mitzvah. Whatever it was, we had food or not food, but at least it wasn't dependent on whether we do mitzvahs or not. They didn't like the fact now that their matzah was totally in mitzvahs. But their drash, or a little bit tongue-in-cheek, that you have some, not, of course, this yeshiva, but some yeshivas, you have bachrim that they like to complain. Right, say, the room's no good, it's too hot, it's too cold, or the food's no good, they love to complain about the food, you know, oh, it's terrible, it tastes like this, it's like that, a million and one things to complain about, right? Oh, Shacharis is too early, you know. Anyways, again, not in the yeshiva, but there are such places. Anyways, so, but what happens, you take the same bacher, and you tell them, okay, tomorrow morning, we're going on a tiyul. We're going on a camping tour. Again, it's not this yeshiva. We're going on a camping tour. And they say, oh, great. What time are we leaving? 4 o'clock in the morning. No problem. Everybody's up early. And they go camping. Now, well, what's camping like? Anybody's been camping, you know? It's not a 5-star hotel. You know, you have the tent, and it's raining, and you're sleeping in the mud, and what are you eating? A barbecue. You're barbecuing these burnt hot dogs. And they, how was it? Oh, it was great. Oh, it was fantastic. Come on, I mean, in yeshiva, you know, 7:30 at least, you know, shacharis, and you get, you know, decent, half-decent food, not some burnt baked potatoes, you know, and you have a nice roof over your head, air conditioning, whatever. That's no good. So what's pshat? So the pshat is that as long as you don't have to, you know, learn Torah, you know, you don't have to learn that this is fun. You have to learn, it's like, that's a chinam min ha-mitzvos. Okay. Says and Klal Yisrael also complained that Vata Nafshenu Yavesha Bilti Elamaneinu. They said that our nefesh, our life is all dry. It's a funny lashon, right? We're all dry. We have ein kol. We have nothing. Just the man. What's pshat that they complained about the man is that our we're all dry. What's pshat? So one idea I saw from the Zichron Yisrael says that. Because I'll tell us that somebody that is blind, Rechman al-Islan, can't see, he gets satiated. In order to satiate, to be satiated, you have to see what you're eating. So Mele, Klal Yisrael, what did they eat? Man. Now man didn't look like food. It was like this ball, you know. However, it tasted good, you know, it can have a taste what you want it to taste like. But Lamaisa, they couldn't see the food. They tasted the food, but they didn't see it. Since they couldn't see it, they couldn't really be satiated so much. And as a result, that's what their complaint was, that they were yevesha, nefshenu yevesha, like this blind person who's not satiated, couldn't see the food, they only tasted it. Okay. Says that in Perek Yudalef, Pasuk Kav Zayin, we have the Parsha of Eldad Umeidad. Point it here. Right. It says that v'yisharu shnei anashim b'machaneh shem echad eldad shem hashini meidad, and they had the nevuah, and then v'yaratzanar v'yagel lemoshe v'yomer eldad umeidad misnabim b'machaneh eldad umeidad misnabim b'machaneh. They're having a nevuah. So Rashi says, what was their nevuah? Their nevuah was that Moshe meis v'yeshua machnis es Yisrael la'aretz. And it was that Moshe is going to die, and Yeshua is going to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. That was their nevuah. So they asked, where is there any remez to this in the pasuk? Right, all it says is Eldad Umeidad Misnabim B'Machaneh. How do we see from there that their nevuah was that Moshe meis and Yeshua machnis, and he's going to bring them in? It's a very interesting idea from Rav Shimon Miastropoli. It says like this. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu was born and he was sent out in the Yam Suf, and the daughter of Paro took him out, it says that she named him. What did she name him? It said, V'tikra Shmo Moshe. Why? Ki mina mayim mishisiu. Because from the water, he was drawn out from the water. We call him Moshe. Minamayim Mishisiyim. So he says, Lechura, there's two letters here which are extra. Why? Because you didn't have to say, she didn't have to say, Min Hamayim Mishisiyim. She could have said, Mimayim Mishisiyim. It's called Moshe because from water he was taken out. Mimayim. Not Min Hamayim. So the Nun and the Hey are extra. Didn't have to say that. So why did she say that? Why did she say Min Hamayim? Because she didn't want to say Mimayim Mishisiyim. Why not? Because she knew, she had Ruach HaKodesh or whatever, it was brought to her, that the, saying Mimayim Mishisiyim would be something like perennious against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because what does Mimayim stand for? Mem, Mem, Yud, Mem. Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnis. That's Mimayim. So she didn't want to be meramez that this boy is eventually going to grow up and is not going to get bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore she didn't want to say Mimayim Mishisiyu, that this Moshe is Meis and Yeshua is Machnis. And therefore she didn't say Mimayim, but she added the Nun Hey, Min Hamayim, to take away the Mimayim. So she took this idea. So what happened? And it says, comes along El Dadumeida, and what does it say in the Pasuk? El Dadumeida Misnabim Ba Machaneh. The machaneh, you can break it up to macha, mach, and nun he. Okay, mach, nun he. What's macha, mach mean? To erase. So what were they doing? They were erasing the nun he. In other words, they took out the nun he from min ha ma'i mishisiyu, and they were machaneh. They took off the nun he. So what are we left with? Mimayim. Ah, so that's where the remez is, that they were misnabim ba machaneh, taking off the nun hey, leaving mimayim, which is Moshe Meis and Yeshua Machnis, as Rashi says, that was the nevuah, and that's merumas in the pasuk. Okay. I share with you an interesting idea. Let's start with a little maisa. The maisa with the Ktsos Achoshen of Aryeh Leib HaKohen. He was a rav of a city called Satri, and he was not the biggest lover, shall we say, of the Hasidim, and he used to say things against the Hasidim, against the rabbis or whatever, Admorim, and of course the Hasidim took it very hard. And they're very upset, and they started, saying not nice things against the Ksos, this and that, whatever. And that got the Ksos, a little bit upset. And as a result, he put them into Cherem, put all the Hasidim into Cherem from the town. So, okay, he's great Gadol, so he puts them into, Cherem. So they're like in Cherem. So they left the town, and they decided to take up their case with the Jose Milublin, right, Yaakov Yitzchak Horowitz, the Jose Milublin, and said, okay, they figured he'll, feel for them, for their plight, and try to help the situation. So they went to Lublin, to Jose, and they wanted to come in to, tell him what the story is. So he says, no, they're in Cherem, they can know, I'll only talk to them, they can only come into the Beis Medrash after the Cherem's over, which is for 1 month. Fine. They waited, month was over, then they were able to come into the Jose because the Cherem was off. So they came into the Jose. And they said, oh, that's Ktsos, this and that, and he's causing a tsaris and so he stopped them in the middle. He says, I don't want you to say anything again, anything about the Ktsos. Nothing, quiet. So they said, but why? He said, shh. No. So what? So he said, let me tell you. Says the end of this week's Sedra, right? Baloscha. We have the parsha with Aaron and Miriam speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem said to them, "Madura lo yareisem ledaber be'avdi b'Moshe." Says, why weren't you scared? Fear? Why weren't you? Didn't you have fear? And therefore, how could you speak against be'avdi b'Moshe? So Rashi points out the funny lashon. What do you mean be'avdi b'Moshe? With and against my Eved Bim Moshe and what is Bim? You say Be'avdi Moshe. So Rashi says, "Eino mer Be'avdi Moshe, ela Be'avdi Bim Moshe." Why? Be'avdi Afal Pishe Eino Moshe. even if he was only my Eved and not Moshe, you should be scared of him. B'Moshe Avavinim, and the opposite way around. Whether he's only my Eved and not Moshe, or only Moshe and not my Eved, you shouldn't speak bad. And Kosh against you, Avdi and Moshe as well. You shouldn't speak bad of him, therefore you should be scared of him, etc., etc. So he said to the Hasidim, he said, I have a question. How could Hashem say, you know, even if he was Moshe, even though he's not my Eved? I mean, that, why should they fear Moshe if he was only Moshe and not Hashem's Eved? Okay, we not Hashem's Eved, and we expected that he should be feared. So he said, the answer is the Gemara in Brachas, Naf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Where they're discussing, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son was sick, and he wasn't getting better, so needed a refuah. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai contacted Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and he said, Rabbi Chanina, please, daven for my son. Says he put his head between his knees, or whatever, he cried, and sure enough, the kid was healed. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's wife said to him, what, Rabbi Chanina is greater than you? So he says, not a matter of being greater. He says, I am like a sar lifnei melech, and he is like an eved lifnei melech. I'm like the minister in front of the king, and he's like, Rabbi Chanina is like an eved. So an eved has, you know, certain connections, whatever, and he was, that's what he is when it comes to tefillah, you know, he's listened to. So he says, same thing over here. He says, there are those gedolim, which are sarim, which are like ministers. Meaning they're gedolei Torah, they learn Torah day and night. Okay, there's others, tzaddikim, you know, rebbes or whatever, they might not be the gedolei Torah, but they're gedolei and avdus, they're avadim. Okay? And that's their forte, that they're oved Hashem. So Mele, that's what, first of all, Hashem was telling them. He said to them, even if he is Moshe and not Avdi, means even if he's only Kulo Torah, but not an Evid so much, as Avdisem is not, that's not his forte, but his forte is Torah, even then you have to fear him. And if it's the other way around, he's only an Evid and not so much Torah also there. And Kol Shekei Moshe, he has both qualities. That's what Hashem was telling them. So Mele says that, why, this is why I'm telling you, you can't talk out against the Ksos, right? Maybe he's not a Rebbe, you know, he doesn't have this Avodas Hashem, so it's not his forte, but he's definitely Sar HaTorah. He's definitely a Gadol in Torah, so even though he might not be an Eved, but he's definitely a Sar. And since he's a Sar, he says, I don't permit you to say anything against him. That's his final words. So we should be all Zoicha in an Ar Avdus of Hashem, our Avodas Hashem, and our learning, so we can all be considered Sarim, be considered Avadim, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and be Zoicha to the Gula Shleima, Bimhera, Bimeinu.